From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, the race for a Texas U.S. Senate seat and Terry Virts, the former astronaut newcomer who wants that job.
Trying the same thing is the wrong answer. I think trying something new and exciting and innovative is the right answer. And that's me. I'm not a politician. I'm a problem solver.
Support for this podcast of Texas Matters comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company. By investing in local communities and rewarding policyholders for prioritizing safety, they are building a more resilient Texas. More at texasmutual.com/texansgetit. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In November 2026, Texans will vote on the U.S. Senate seat now held by Republican John Cornyn. Cornyn is seeking re-election, but his candidacy is in trouble. He is challenged for the Republican nomination by Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, and recent polling shows that Paxton is holding a commanding lead. Pulse Decision Science surveyed likely GOP primary voters and found Paxton leads with 57% of the respondents compared to Cornyn's 38%, and just 5% are undecided. Other surveys consistently show Paxton with a strong advantage over Cornyn, often by double digits. For example, a UT Tyler poll shows Paxton at 44% and Cornyn at 34%. Paxton's appeal is strongest among committed conservative primary voters who respond to his hardline Trump-aligned messaging. But his campaign is shadowed by legal controversies, a 2023 impeachment by the Texas House, the subsequent acquittal, and lingering federal investigations. But Democrats are watching this Republican matchup and smelling opportunity. They see Paxton as a weak candidate in the general election, and a strong Democratic challenger could end a 30-year streak of losses. A Stratus Intelligence poll of likely voters finds Paxton trailing a generic Democratic opponent by 3 points, 39% to 42%, with 19% undecided. That's an eyebrow-raising result, given Texas traditionally GOP lean. It now appears that there are Democrats preparing to enter their primary to see who will challenge Paxton. Former astronaut Terry Virts has announced, and we're going to hear from that political newcomer in just a moment, but names more familiar to Texas Democrats are also being talked about. Former Congressman Beto O'Rourke has been barnstorming the state with well-attended rallies. Current San Antonio Congressman Joaquin Castro has said he's considering the run. There is speculation that former Congressman Colin Allred, who lost to Ted Cruz for the U.S. Senate seat in 2024, and also State Representative James Tallarico, is also being talked about as a possible candidate. There is reporting that these possible candidates are talking among themselves, looking to decide who would be the best candidate and trying to avoid a bruising and expensive Democratic primary. But let's be sure that a Ken Paxton Republican nomination doesn't automatically mean a give-me to the Democrats. Paxton has won statewide 3 times already, although during his last election in 2022, he underperformed compared to other Republicans running statewide. At that time, Paxton was in serious legal trouble, including ongoing securities fraud investigations, an FBI probe, and a state bar disciplinary action and allegations of abuse of office. However, by highlighting his many lawsuits against the Biden administration and emphasizing fighting big tech and voter fraud and social issues, Paxton mobilized his base and he won. Nevertheless, Democrats are chomping at the bit for their chance to face Paxton in a race for U.S. Senate. And Terry Virts made it official that he is running for the Democratic nomination for Senate. I spoke to him about that.
Well, thanks for having me on, David. And as I look out across the country, as I look out across Texas, you see this chaos and division that's happening with the Trump administration. You see corruption like you've never seen before, and it's just a real disaster. And I've had a career of service as an Air Force fighter pilot and, you know, over 30 years in the Air Force. And I couldn't just stand by any longer and, you know, just fret over reading tweets. I decided that I needed to do something about it. You know, to those who much has been given, much will be expected. So I just looked at my experience and my background, and I thought that the Senate is kind of something that made sense given the things that I've done and the perspectives that I've gained. So I decided to throw my hat in the ring for the Democratic nomination for Senate.
Why are you a Democrat?
I'm a Democrat because I love the party's values. The party's values are about serving people, are about working class people. I come from a working class family. You know, I joke that my family has a lot more union cards than college degrees. I was the first one to go to college. You go to meetings here, the local county meeting or the local Democratic meeting in Texas, and people are just common sense. They're trying to figure out how to get the drainage problem solved or how to get people health care. And when you see what's happening today in 2025 with the other party, you see grievance, you see hatred, you see division. It's just a night and day thing. So I'm a Democrat because of their values.
So as an astronaut, you went into space. Tell us about that.
I did. It was my dream. You know, when I was a kid, I had posters of the space shuttle, actually, and the old red, white, and blue YF-16. Those are posters I had on my wall, and I was the lucky kid. I actually got to do the thing that I dreamt about, and I had to wait a long time. We had the Columbia accident in 2003. A lot of other things were going on, but I finally flew as a pilot on the space shuttle Endeavour. I actually helped finish building the space station. We were the final assembly mission. I went back, was commander of the space station, flew on a Russian capsule with Russian cosmonauts. So I spent a little over 7 months total in outer space, seeing our beautiful planet, seeing Texas. I got to tell you, Texas is amazing from space, especially at night. You see the big cities, Dallas and Houston, and you see the Permian Basin and the Eagle Ford Basin out west. So amazing blessing and opportunity, you know, my childhood dream I got to do as a NASA astronaut.
It's been described as the overview effect, having that view from orbit, from the moon, being able to look at the planet. And they describe it as a life-changing event. It gives people a perspective that shows the fragility of the planet and the importance of taking responsibility for it. Did you feel that?
I absolutely felt that. It's such a beautiful planet. I mean, I helped make an IMAX movie called A Beautiful Planet. It's a great film. I did a National Geographic photography book called View from Above. It's spectacular. You just can't imagine until you actually see it. You have the sense, and my crewmate said this, and Samantha Cristoforetti, she's absolutely right. You feel like you see this spaceship Earth going through the galaxy, and we need to be crewmates and not just passengers on spaceship Earth. And, you know, you see that as Texas is pretty big. I'm sure many of us here in Texas are very proud of that. But it is a beautiful planet, but we need to take care of it. Not only our environment, which obviously is very important, but our politics. You can see in places like Africa, especially in North Korea, at nighttime, there's no city lights there. And what you're looking at really is corruption and politics gone wrong. And I had never thought of that until I spent some time looking at it from space, looking back down on Earth, and I realized just how important politics are and how important not having a corrupt government is. And when you look at what's happening right now with our government, you know, this country has never seen corruption like what we're seeing right now with the Trump administration. So that's something that needs to be stopped, and that's one of the reasons why I'm running for Senate.
In your campaign video where you announced that you were running for office, you also target corruption allegations against the Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, who is a Republican candidate for the Senate. It's possible that you could be running against Paxton for Senate come November of 2026. So what corruption allegations are you talking about with Paxton?
Well, I'm talking about the ones that are already well known and have been widely reported, you know, from the real estate developer and you know, he's been indicted, he's been impeached. But, you know, when the Republican Texas State House impeaches you, that's pretty bad when you're a Republican. And so those allegations are well known, and it looks like he's going to win. I mean, if you look at every poll that I've seen has been between 10 and 20 or even 25 points up on Cornyn. So, you know, it looks like the Texas primary voters may be nominating Ken Paxton. So unless the Democrats can do something different. And by the way, I want to you may be asking me this question, but it's been over 30 years. It's been 30 years. Ann Richards, you know, the great governor, don't mess with Texas, was governor the last time a Democrat won statewide in Texas. So unless we do something different, if we keep on nominating the same people, we're going to get the same results. And so we have to do, I think, something different, something innovative. You know, Texans want common sense politicians. And that's why I'm running, hoping to give them something up, something original that might actually, that will actually have a chance to win, rather than trying to do the same thing again. And unfortunately, I think, losing.
Well, and he's also a supporter of the Trump administration, and he is backing the tax bill, the which Trump calls the Big Beautiful Bill, which would, make cuts to Medicaid and also be tax breaks for the rich class of the United States. And, I mean, how would you vote on the Big Beautiful Bill?
Yeah, I would absolutely be a no on that. And you know, the worst part about John Cornyn is that he knows better, but he's willing to trade his ethics to support Trump just to keep himself in office. Like so many Republicans, know better. They know the things that Trump is doing, and they've sold their soul just to stay in power. And that's just an awful thing. But as you mentioned, one of the worst things of this, you know, you can call it whatever you want. I don't want to be a teenager coming up with nicknames like Trump does, but this new spending bill, It's going to gut Medicaid. And I this is personal for me. You know, I have family members, very close family members, who depend on Medicaid. And Medicaid is paid for really important medical procedures for my own family. And so to see that cut would hurt me personally. And of course, it's going to hurt millions of Texans. Working class Texans are the people that I care about. I'm going to represent all of them. When I go to Washington, I'm going to represent Texans. I'm not going to represent the senator from New York. I'm not going to work for him. My only boss is going to be the Texas voter. And the cuts in Medicaid are going to be awful for teachers and, you know, all kinds of folks across this great state.
So you also seem like you're trying to position yourself as not the typical Democrat. So talk about that.
Yes, sir. So, you know, I'm not a politician by nature. Of course, when I was in the Air Force for over 30 years, you're not allowed to be political. And as an astronaut, I was never, you know, overtly political. I'm definitely a Democrat in terms of values. I mean, I want to focus on economic, healthcare, education, those types of issues that matter to Texans of all races, you know, genders, all regions of our state. Everybody cares about those are the things that matter the most. I'm not going to focus on the culture war issues. The National Party has unfortunately been kind of branded as this left-wing culture war party. And Texas Democrats are not like that. Like I said, I've met lots of Democrats across the state. I've worked with them. They care about the things, you know, they care about the cost of living. They care about getting their health care and giving opportunities for their kids to have a better life. I'm a product of public schools. My public school was the reason why I got into the Air Force Academy. And we need to make sure that Texas kids have great public schools, too. Of course, Greg Abbott wants to take billions of dollars away from that and give it to who knows who in the voucher program. We need to focus on public schools. That is the foundation of opportunity for our Texas kids.
Speaking of being an astronaut, I'm really interested in what's happening with the U.S. space program. And we know under the Trump administration that they are making big cuts to NASA. We're having layoffs at NASA. They're cutting things like the National Weather Service, which, you know, we get a lot of information from our satellites. And there's a lot of questions like, what is happening to United States competitiveness in space? It looks like the United States will be losing the space race back to the moon because China is being very aggressive, and they look like they could have men on the moon, men and women on the moon, humans on the moon in 4 or 5 years.
Absolutely. I mean, we could do an hour long interview just about this subject. One of the things you just said, there's a lot of questions about what's happening. Well, I don't think there's any question about what's happening. This Trump budget is absolutely gutting NASA to the core. Unless Congress does something about it, the Trump budget is just a massive disaster. It's a 50% cut to NASA science. It's also cut to all kinds of other science in the government, human research, medical research, the National Weather Service, you know, climate research. It's really important for Texans across the state. I mean, Texans in Dallas and Austin and in El Paso who are doing any type of scientific research are getting crushed by this budget. The NASA folks here in Houston, I live in the Houston area, obviously, where the Johnson Space Center is. I've been told it's the worst morale ever. I mean, when the Constellation program was canceled 15 years ago, things were pretty bleak. When the Columbia accident happened, things were very bleak. But my friends there have told me that it's the worst that they've ever seen. So you can't overstate just how horrific this Trump proposed budget is for science and research. We have no hope of competing with China if things go the way Trump wants them to go. And that's bad for all Texans. You know, for America to lose its place in the world will really hurt Texas. And so these science cuts, I have family members struggling with cancer right now. We have Texans dying from measles right now. And this Trump administration is gutting medical research, is undermining faith in basic science. You shouldn't have faith in science. Science is something you don't believe in. Science is something you know. And yet the Trump administration's undercutting that. So I would definitely take things in a very different direction. The direction that they're going right now is very bad. And to your point, John Cornyn is just a rubber stamp for Trump. He just votes yes on everything. He just prostrated himself and took a picture of him reading Trump's Art of the Deal book, which is, you know, when I'm in my 70s and I've been in the Senate for 20 years, please don't ever let me do that. That was just a sad thing for him to do. So we're in bad shape. I'm going to change that when I'm in the Senate.
So you mentioned Elon Musk before, and of course, Elon Musk is, you know, SpaceX. SpaceX has done some incredible things. However, the Starship program appears to be very good at unscheduled rapid disassembly, blowing up. Super Heavy works very well and seems to be doing a great job, but being able to get Starship, and the plan is to have Starship be the delivery of the lander for the moon with Artemis. I don't know if that's actually working or not. I mean, we have probes that we send to the moon. We can't even land upright, and they think they're going to be able to land Starship upright on the moon. It seems like they're making some decisions that I wonder if they're not motivated by external factors and not by common sense.
Well, to your first point, I just want to praise SpaceX for, you know, the last decade. They've done amazing things. They've launched cargo to this. When I was there on the space station, they launched 3 cargo ships. One of them blew up, but the first 2 made it. And so they've done, you know, they've been very important. The Falcon 9 rocket is amazing. It dominates the global launch industry by far. The U.S. government has really benefited and actually needs the Falcon 9 SpaceX rocket. So the people who work here in Texas for SpaceX, thank you. It's an important part of our economy and our space future. But to your question about wondering whether or not, I mean, when you give hundreds of millions of dollars to a political campaign, and then you're given contracts on the other side of that, and you're more than that, you're given all the data of the United States government for your AI company, I mean, you don't have to wonder about that. That's not appropriate. That's called a conflict of interest. And the Starship problems, I mean, I hope that rocket works. It would be a great benefit to our space program. The real thing, Elon needs that rocket to work for his Starlink internet web satellite constellation. But the moon program is in trouble. I mean, the government rocket, SLS, was born as Ares 5. That whole program was born 20 years ago. It still hasn't launched a human yet. We've been spending billions of dollars a year for 20 years, still hasn't launched astronauts. And the Starship rocket keeps on blowing up. So I think we need to step back and kind of do a reevaluation of the moon program. The Starship lander, they have this big giant rocket has a moon lander version. And to your point, it has to land on pretty even ground because it's so tall that if it's a little bit off level, it'll fall over. So there's a lot of questions that I have about the moon program. And we don't want to delay that too much because China's going to beat us to the moon, and that's going to really undercut American presence in the world.
So before you can run against whoever the Republican will be for Senate, whether it be Ken Paxton or John Cornyn, you have to get through the Democratic nomination process. It could be a crowded field. You are one of the first, or if not the first, to actually announce that you are running. How do you expect Democrats in Texas to decide that they want your brand of being a Democrat?
Mm-hmm. That's super important. And this is my first race, so I've got a huge uphill climb, but I think it's one that is climbable and winnable. And the folks that I've talked to across the state have been super excited. And there's been two universal reactions I've gotten. Number one, they don't want to try the same thing again. They all roll their eyes. They're like, oh, I don't want to just do the same thing again. I have a heartbreak. It's like Snoopy and Charlie Brown in the football. You know, we're going to get the football pulled away from us again. And they're excited to have a new type of non-politician Democrat, somebody who aligns with Democratic values, who aligns with the working class, is going to, support people. But it's going to require a lot of work. It's 250 days to the primary. I'm going to get around the state and actually show up and talk to folks. If they want to support me, my website is terryvirch.com. So I'd appreciate any support. Getting that support is super critical. It's the rocket fuel that lets the rocket get off the launch pad. And like I said, I'm not getting any Christmas cards from the National Democratic Party. They are, Mr. Schumer and his team are very opposed to me running. So I'd appreciate any support there at terryvirch.com.
Why are they opposed to you running?
Well, I think that's a good question to ask them, actually. I'll let them answer that. I think having kind of more of the same allows just a lot of money to come in. But I'm not sure. I would think they would rather win in like 30 years of data points. That's a trend, and maybe we should try something different. I think that's the better answer.
Well, looking at what just happened in New York City, where a Democratic socialist pulled off a surprise victory against an establishment Democrat, Cuomo, it does seem like the gravitational pull for the Democratic Party right now is to the left. It does seem like to the left of you. You don't seem like a Democratic socialist, are you?
I am not. I don't think I would do very well if I was running in New York City or San Francisco now. But, I don't think that election, I don't think that was the lesson from the election. I think the lesson from that election is that people are tired of the status quo. They don't want the Chuck Schumer wing of the Democratic Party anymore. I mean, the National Party has a 27% approval rating. Like Americans, I bet you in College Station, I bet you Longhorns have a higher approval rating than 27%. So what we didn't do as Democrats after 2024 was have a debrief. After every F-16 mission, after every space shuttle mission, you sit down and you have a debrief. And the debrief is more painful and longer than the actual mission itself. And you figure out, what did you do wrong? How are you going to fix it so you don't do it again? It's super important. Democrats didn't do that. In 2024, the National Party, guys like Schumer, were telling us in Texas, hey, this illegal immigration is not a problem. Hey, Joe Biden's not too old. He's in the best shape of his life. Joe Biden's good. If you say otherwise, you're a racist. Or if you say otherwise, you're wrong. And Texas voters looked at that and they went, nope, I don't believe you. By the way, they know Donald Trump is full of, is nothing but lies. They know he lies all the time. They know he does all these terrible things. And yet they still trusted Donald Trump more than they trusted Democrats. And that's a big indictment on the party. Our party has to get better. I mean, it's our duty to get better and to just admit mea culpa. Hey, we were wrong in 2024. We got too far down the culture war stuff, and we need to focus on the economics and healthcare and the things that working families need. They want to give their kids more opportunity than they have. That's what Democrats need to focus on. And the National Party hasn't done that. I'm definitely going to do that and hopefully help the party become it needs to be a bigger tent party. And yes, the New York stuff's not going to fly in Texas, and that is definitely not me.
So Donald Trump did win Texas with 56% of the vote. Not a runaway as big as you would have thought for Texas, but
right.
The strength for Donald Trump and the Republican Party comes from rural Texas. Rural counties vote for the Republican Party by 80% plus. We're seeing policies right now where many people in rural Texas are going to have a tougher time of making ends meet with the policies that are being put in place by this administration. How are you going to be able to reach out to those rural, those dedicated, loyal Republican voters in the rural parts of the state and explain to them this is a better choice for them?
Yeah, I'll give you a even more striking number. There's 2,000 rural counties in America overall. In the 90s, Bill Clinton won more than half of those. That number has been dropping to this last election. Kamala Harris won 8%. So basically, Democrats have completely lost these rural counties. And right now, the policies that Trump has are actually hurting these people, these farmers, these ranchers, these roughnecks out in Midland and the Permian and Eagleford basins. So I want to get out there. I'm going to go visit with them. There's 134 counties in Texas west of the Austin-San Antonio, you know, I-35 corridor. So that's going to be tough to get in my car and drive to all 134 counties. But I'm going to visit as many as I can, and I'm going to make the case that, look, I joke. This is kind of tongue in cheek. I'm the Democrat you don't have to be afraid of. I want to focus on price. Let's get these insane tariffs under control. You know, tariffs are needed. I joke that tariffs are kind of like Twinkies. A few of them are okay, but, you know, too many is not good. And Trump is doing tariffs just because he loves to feel powerful. He loves to hurt people. He loves to put, you know, pain on whichever country it is. And he loves for them to come to him and beg him for things. He's not doing tariffs as part of a coherent economic strategy. So my case to them is going to be simple. Look, I'm going to work to help bring prices down, help improve and all of the above energy policy that will benefit Texas and do the kinds of things that working class families are going to benefit from. Unfortunately, Trump says he's doing that, and his actions just benefit billionaires in Silicon Valley.
So the race for Senate in Texas in the midterms in November of 2026, it's the top of the ticket. This would be a deciding factor if people get excited about this race and about the candidates on whether or not they turn out to vote. And then if they vote, then they'll also vote down ballot as well. There's a lot of attention, this is key for Republicans and Democrats. So there's a lot of people wondering, like, you know, what can they do in order to get the right candidate for the Democratic Party who is going to excite the base, bring out new voters, and change, like you said, 30 years of losses for the party. I mean, are you that guy? Why are you that guy?
Yeah, I think I am. I think trying the same thing is the wrong answer. I think trying something new and exciting and innovative is the right answer. And that's me. I'm not a politician. I'm a problem solver. And, you know, if they want to help make that true, terryvirch.com is my website. I think if we have that excitement, wow, we're running an astronaut. And by the way, you know, there's an astronaut in Arizona. My friend Mark Kelly is out there as a senator from Arizona. Look, Texas can't let Arizona have an astronaut and not have one ourselves. I mean, we're the home of Houston, right? So we need an astronaut in Texas. So that's one of my selling points. But I think that having, you know, the same candidate again is not going to generate the excitement. And I think having something new is going to generate the excitement that you need, to your point, at the top of the ticket. And the Senate is not the only important candidate. I mean, there's governor, lieutenant governor, AG. There's 38 House races, all the state races. So the top of the ticket is very important. And I think having something exciting and new will not only bring Texas attention to this race, but it'll bring national attention to it.
Terry Virts is a former NASA astronaut and a candidate for the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senate. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. Email us at texasmatters@tpr.org. There are past episodes of Texas Matters at tpr.org, and you can find us wherever you download cool podcasts. Tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.